The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
I caught part of President Putin's press conference.
He's still got President Trump on the brain. He's not the only one. We've played some of those clips before, reporters and such making the same mistake. I caught part of Putin's press conference. That's a cold open from the fake president, Joe Biden, following his summit in Geneva with Vladimir Putin. We've got that and much, much more to get to on today's program. You are listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. And we certainly appreciate you tuning in either at our website, thetrumpet.com/live, or at our radio station website, kpcg.fm. And we also partner with CRN Digital Talk Radio Network. That's Channel 3. They've got 7 or 8 channels on CRN. So we're on Channel 3, and we're also streamed live. The audio is on CRN. So if you're tuning in on CRN and you want to see the video presentation, be sure to visit our own website, thetrumpet.com/live. Tonight, Birmingham, Alabama, Celtic Throne will be performing yet again. They're en route even as we speak. I think they got most of the drive out of the way yesterday, and they'll be having a rehearsal this afternoon. And if you'd like to, if you're anywhere near the Birmingham area and you'd like to see Celtic Throne, just go to our website, celticthrone.com, and right there on the front page, you'll see a bright yellow link or a button that takes you to the venue for tonight. That's Birmingham, Alabama. And it's looking like Monday's performance in Nashville, the Ryman Auditorium. It's looking like that's going to be the biggest crowd that we perform in front of. And I'll be out there for the one in Nashville on Monday. So if you're anywhere in that region of the United States, the Alabama area, the Tennessee area, be sure and visit CelticThrone.com. If you'd like to see this wonderful performance, I've had the montage on the docket for a couple of weeks now. People that have seen the show, their reaction, and everyone who sees it just has an over-the-top reaction. And those that left the performance on Monday in Amarillo, same thing. 600 people that saw it, lots of families. The tickets for children, by the way, are discounted. So it's really a show for the whole family, and it's so uplifting and so inspiring, and then just the quality of entertainment too, over the top. So that's Celtic Throne, the website CelticThrone.com. Well, as I say, I'll get to the Geneva summit a little later on if we have time. I thought I would begin first by mentioning Twitter's response to the segment that Tucker Carlson had a couple nights ago, where he basically showed, he exposed the FBI for the radical leftist agency that it is. It's been completely and thoroughly weaponized to go after, first and foremost, political opponents, Trump supporters. And Tucker exposed this. He went through the article at revolver.com and had the author there on his segment and showed how all these co-conspirators, where are they? How come they get to mingle in among the protesters and actually incite violence and vandalism and such? And then they get off scot-free. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually getting in there and inciting some of the rioting that took place, and as you know, most of it was just peaceful protesting, for sure, to use the language that the media, the propaganda media, used last summer, when most of it was violence, when most of it was looting and burning America's cities. This is Twitter, though. They, as Tucker noted last night, Twitter was quick. They were Johnny on the spot as soon as those segments from Tucker started to appear on social media. They had to delete some of them. They had to put on disclaimers. This was Twitter. This is, I forget where this is on the Twitter page, but this is basically Twitter saying, well, this is actually what happened when they're making a statement next to what they see as fake news. Twitter's response to Tucker's segment, federal law does not permit cooperating witnesses or informants to be charged with conspiracy. Despite a baseless suggestion by Tucker Carlson that some co-conspirators of the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol were not charged because they were undercover FBI agents. And as Tucker then went on to point out last night in his follow-up, you're making my point for me. That's exactly the point I was making. Why are, okay, so they're not being indicted, these FBI agents. They can't be, according to federal law. Tucker's point was, why are these FBI agents infiltrating this protest of Trump supporters and inciting violence? And so then Twitter comes out with its clarification today. And they said, Trump supporters organized and attended the January 6 U.S. Capitol insurrection, according to the New York Times, Recode, and NBC. Oh, just so you know, it was the Trump supporters that coordinated it and organized it. They were the ones that incited it, and that's according to the New York Times. These propagandists in the media just rushing to defend the deep state, rushing to defend the FBI. There was a senator who asked Christopher Wray, the FBI director, the other day, I think I played the clip yesterday. Well, have any been charged with insurrection or sedition? No, there haven't been any. So what is it, mostly? Well, trespassing, disorderly conduct, and you know the story. People still, almost 6 months on, rotting away in jail, waiting their day in court, and the FBI, Chris Wray, Merrick Garland, out there, it seems, every other day, telling us the real problem, the greatest threat the United States is facing, is white supremacy. Really? Do people really believe that? They do. They do, and you can see the way that they're setting it up, the January 6th insurrection, the way that they infiltrate Proud Boys and some of these other groups. Are they trying to get in there with Antifa to expose that rot, that evil? No, they're focusing on the right-wing militias because that's where the real danger exists. So says the AG. So says the FBI director. This is the deep state. The swamp runs deep, as we've said so many times before. They brought, following this summit, they brought Hillary Clinton out of retirement to add some commentary to the cable news networks. And here she is talking about continuing on with a hoax, with this narrative that's been so thoroughly debunked over and over again. And yet still, listen to Hillary from yesterday, clip 12.
And, you know, remember, you know, Putin made it his mission to deny me the presidency in part because, you know, I did raise issues that were uncomfortable with him.
Right. You were the tough guy. And that's why Putin made it his mission to take you out. So Donald Trump wouldn't have won were it not for Vladimir Putin. That's the hoax that's been exposed as a big lie, one of many. One of many. And then notice she's commenting there about 2016, obviously. And then notice in the same interview what she goes on to say about the election from 2020, the one just a few months ago. This is clip 13.
We never thought we had to worry about domestic enemies. We never thought we had to worry about people who didn't believe in our democracy, in our Constitution, in our separation of powers, in our institutions. And sadly, what we've seen over the last 4 years, and particularly since our election in 2020, is that we have people within our own country who are doing Putin's work.
So Putin stole the election in 2016 for Trump. But if you are to question anything that happened in 2020, well, as she said there, you're doing Putin's work. You can't talk about that at all. That was perfect. If you talk about election rigging in 2020, well, you're a conspiracy, a dangerous one at that, a dangerous conspiracy theorist. And there she says in the same interview, well, of course 2016 was rigged. Putin made it his mission. Donald Trump wouldn't have won were it not for him. Trump was a Russian agent. Trump, Russia, Russia, Russia. It's still on their minds, even when it's been disproven. It's their knee-jerk reaction to everything. And meanwhile, they themselves, sellouts to the communist Chinese. Sellouts, yes, to the communists in Russia as well. Look at what Joe Biden handed over to Vladimir Putin even before the summit yesterday. Nord Stream 2, that's like Putin's lifeline. And that gives him control over energy that flows into all of Europe. Shuts out Ukraine as well. Well, there she is talking about election rigging, and she knows. She knows that 2020 was perfect, and she knows that 2016 was a steal in her mind. Meanwhile, evidence just keeps pouring in. Of all the fraud, particularly in Arizona, and it's even worse in Georgia, as John Solomon brought out in a piece that he released just last night, just the news. Some excellent reporting here. And you know what? These records that he's drawing attention to in his piece, they come out of the offices of Georgia state election officials. That's right. These are government officials that sat on this information. Some would say covered it up. John Solomon writes at Just the News. He says, records suggest more than 100 batches of absentee ballots in Fulton County could be missing. Some experts see election tabulation malpractice as state officials seek to remove the county's top election supervisors. So even up as high as Brad Raffensperger's office, he's calling for these election officials in Fulton County to be removed. In fact, he should be removed. We'll come to that, though, in just a moment. He can't have it both ways, though, can he? On the one hand, he says it was perfect, it was secure, it was just fine. And then he says, oh, there's all kinds of problems with Fulton County, so those election officials need to be removed. Fulton County encompasses the greater Atlanta area. So the most votes in all of Georgia, most of them, I forget the percentage, they come out of Fulton County. So you have some big mess ups in that county, and that's going to affect a lot of things. Joe Biden supposedly won by 11,000 votes, 12,000. And then in the two Senate races, remember, they had to have runoffs in early January because the races were so tight, so close on November 3rd. You can see how that this just dramatically impacts everything. The cheating that happens in just one county with one big city, the city of Atlanta, known for its cheating. It's been going on for years and years. And they really pulled it off on November 3rd. The biggest, most obvious steal in the history of certainly that county. Solomon says documents that Georgia's largest county has submitted to state officials as part of a post-election audit highlight significant irregularities in the Atlanta area during last November's voting, ranging from identical vote tallies repeated multiple times to large batches of absentee ballots that appear to be missing from the official ballot scanning records. They discovered all of this when? In the first couple weeks of November. November. Remember when Raffensperger and Gabe Sterling and Jeff Duncan, even the governor, Brian Kemp, remember when they were rushing to certify? Okay. We'll audit it. We'll do it quickly. They audited everything, and what did they find? All of these problems. And then they went in front of the microphone and they said, "Yeah, we checked everything, and it was perfect." A month or so later, "We checked everything. Wasn't quite perfect, but it wasn't enough to overturn the election. There weren't 12,000 mistakes." Well, they were right about that. There were tens of thousands of mistakes. There were tens of thousands of fake ballots. Probably got into the hundreds of thousands, if the truth be told. It says the problems in predominantly Democratic Fulton, predominantly Democratic. How about that? Would they ever cheat? Would they resort to cheating and stealing to get rid of the bad orange man? You know what these revelations are proving? They're proving just how much all those individuals I just mentioned, Raffensperger, Sterling, Jeff Duncan, and Brian Kemp, it proves just how much those so-called Republicans despise Donald Trump. Because you had the cheaters on the one side, and then you had the ones observing it, the officials responsible for it. And they turned a blind eye to it. They allowed the cheating. And then they came out and lied about it. The big takeaway from Solomon's report is not just that there was cheating and stealing going on November 3rd. We know that. You know that. The big takeaway is that Raffensperger knew that. He knew it. He absolutely knew it. Says here, the memos reviewed by Just the News include a handwritten tally sheet for all absentee ballots counted by the county, as well as a private report from a contractor hired by Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to monitor the Atlanta area election process. So this was an outside group contractor that Raffensperger hired. And so he was there monitoring the election. From November 2nd through to November 7th, November 3rd was the election. So he was there the day before. He was there through the election and all the shenanigans that night, the so-called water main break and so on, shutting down the counting except for a few. He was there for the few days after, and then he was there up until the 7th, I believe that's the Saturday, when the news media anointed Joe Biden as king. Yeah, there's no evidence of fraud, they said. The media made him king. They made him president. That's why it's all fake. It's not the actual result of the election. This is the deep state working together with their allies in the propaganda media to get rid of a man they hated, to get rid of someone that was disrupting their deep state practices, all of that criminality. Says here, so keep in mind, this is a contractor hired by Raffensperger. It says the report, which chronicled 7 days of problems, recorded troubling behavior like the mysterious removal of a suitcase of sensitive election data known as poll pads used to authenticate voters. So here is it's a 25-page report. And as it says, it covers 7 days of activity. And this is just some contractor. His name's not on it. The report is State Election Board Report. November 13, 2020, unabridged notes detailing everything witnessed during that time period. So he's got timestamps on every little thought, everything that he witnessed. He's got the dates, Monday, November 2, 8:17 p.m. Here's what's happening. Here's what's going on. This is from November 2nd, 10:05 p.m. So the night before the election, election day, or what used to be election day, it turned into election week, as we know. "I speak with Johnny Harris," he writes, "who says that all this chaos with the poll pads was caused by getting a flawed file from the Secretary of State's office that didn't mark or remove anyone who had voted during early voting. So they were having to update them." So this was going on the night before. Further on, it says, "I learned that Rick reprogramming poll pads earlier was setting up a new precinct for SC11 because someone took the wrong suitcase but only took one. It says, seems to be a mystery who this person was should have chain of custody paperwork. It says that means that a stranger just walked out with a sensitive election materials. He's just jotting down his thoughts, his observations. He's there in Fulton County. He's observing. And who commissioned him to do this? Brad Raffensperger. And when did Brad Raffensperger get this report filed by this contractor? He got it on November 13th. He got it before the state even certified. Now, that's pretty interesting, don't you think? Because what did Raffensperger say later? Much later, as it happens. I played the clip for you a couple days ago. Go ahead and play that one. That's from 60 Minutes, January 10th. That's earlier this year. Here's Raffensperger, clip 14.
What can you tell on national television on 60 Minutes right now? What can you tell the American people about the integrity of the 2020 presidential election in the state of Georgia?
We had safe, secure, honest elections, and the results are disappointing if you are a Republican, but those are the results.
Safe, secure, and honest. And oh, by the way, I'd like to see all those election officials in Fulton County fired because they did such a horrible job. That's in this article. It's in the quotes from Raffensperger are in this article by John Solomon. So he wants it both ways. Safe, secure, everything was perfect, everything was fine. And oh, by the way, all those officials in Atlanta, the heaviest populated community in all of Georgia, they should be fired. So nothing to report as far as election irregularities are concerned. This is from the contractor's report. From Tuesday, November 3rd, too many ballots coming in for secure black ballot boxes. They are moving them over from Pryor Street in rolling bins, 2,000 at a time. This seems like a massive, this is who Raffensperger hired. This seems like a massive chain of custody problem. It's my understanding that the ballots are supposed to be moved in numbered sealed boxes to protect them. They're in the wrong boxes. There's no chain of custody, no observation, and they're just rolling them in. Where are they coming from? Who knows? That's what he was saying. Talks about the leak, the plumbing leak that happened that night. Further on in the evening, 11:17 p.m., November 3rd, news reaches warehouse that Secretary Raffensperger ripped Fulton County. It just came through the wire. So he was criticizing Fulton County that night, Raffensperger. 11:26 p.m., there's confusion about whether or not they're still scanning at State Farm, where reports that the staff were told, the rest of the staff, staff were told to leave, et cetera, some state. You know the story with that. Order is starting to break down. That's Wednesday. Wednesday at 12:08 a.m., so late into the night. November 4th, the next day, 2 p.m., return from lunch to learn that the remaining 2,800 ballots from last night's drop boxes have been delivered. I'm told that all absentee ballots, aside from such and such, are here now. So the next afternoon, another batch of ballots from drop boxes arrives, 2,800 of them, at 2 p.m. They just kept rolling in, didn't they? No wonder they were saying weeks ahead of the election. Now, just be ready. This is not going to be like usual. It's not going to be election day. It's going to be election days. It's going to take several days to sort a lot of this out. And many were wondering, well, why? Why? Well, they needed all those days. Make a few tabulations, calculations. See how many additional votes were needed. And when you know it, in come all of these absentee ballots, all of these ballots in the drop boxes. This is from Wednesday as well, 4:05 p.m. All five scanners down at Dominion. As Dominion Tech begins upload to flash drives for adjudication, so the Dominion people were there doing their thing. And that doesn't raise any question, I guess, in Secretary Raffensperger's mind. Keep in mind, the state of Georgia, they had purchased just a year or so earlier, they had purchased $107 million worth of Dominion equipment. So they're head first into this. They are not going to come out and admit they did anything wrong with the machines, with the election, even though the report comes in November 13th, Raffensperger gets this firsthand account. And what does he do? He certifies the election, and then he goes on 60 Minutes and says, it was just fine. Totally secure. This is from Wednesday as well, November 4th. Matthew Mashburn from the SEB calls to my attention that a party poll watcher was on the elevator with two new reinforcements. The first asked the second if they were ready for a long night. The second one replied, "Yes, I'm ready to mess things up." He uses a lot of profanity. But yes, I'm ready to mess it up. That's a poll watcher. What does that mean? You know about all the witnesses, the ones that witnessed nefarious behavior. Here's one that said that in the elevator, as if he was proud he was going to disrupt things. Seems like that individual ought to be investigated. It says here, audit batch 88 from scanner 4. It ended up being military ballots that were locked up and hidden under a table. Interesting. Also from Wednesday. Well, I'll skip ahead to the last couple. This is from Friday, November 6th. New staff this morning, all handling their jobs well, but then it says later, I'm called over by a scanner to show me that new staff may be working more quickly, but they have been sloppy. The duplicate numbers are going way up. Scanner 3, batch 363, 14% needed duplication. So they were coming in, they were fresh, they were working fast, and they were making a lot of mistakes. And then finally, 11:37 a.m., a panicked member of staff tells me that Fulton found four boxes or trays at the warehouse and that they're on the way here now. This is Friday. They found four boxes. Wow. How convenient. That's from a contractor who submitted his report to Brad Raffensperger's office on November 13th, 2020. John Solomon says this, the revelations come as a state judge has taken the extraordinary step of ordering absentee ballots in the county unsealed so that a private audit led by lawyer Bob Cheely can examine the actual papers and resolve discrepancies. So this Bob Cheely, this attorney, this is the content, what you're reading here and other things. Solomon says that basically what this contractor saw, it squares with what this lawyer is bringing to Judge, I think it's Judge Sparrow, who that trial, it's just delayed at the moment because the left-wing attorneys are in there trying to throw out technicalities in the hope that the judge will not let it go forward. I think the judge delayed it for a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks. And John Solomon's saying everywhere that you look, you're seeing all of these irregularities. All of this evidence that it was stolen. Let me just skip ahead further. I see my time's going by pretty quickly. Solomon says this. The secretary said, just to back up, this is quoting from Raffensperger. This is really, really rich. He says, I have continued to call on the elections director to be removed from his position, and the leadership of Fulton County has continued to fail to act. That's Secretary of State Raffensperger. Now he's up on his high on his self-righteous horse, saying, I have continued to call for these people to be removed. The ones that headed up the election in Georgia's most populated county, Fulton County. It was far from perfect, and he admits as much in this very article. But what did he say in January? What did he write in the Washington Post back on November? Well, that's another quote. I gave you this the other day as well. But keep in mind, he got all this reporting from the contractor on November 13th. And then he says this on November 21st. This is in the Washington Post. Georgia just finished its first statewide hand recount, a cutting-edge process that was developed for verifying the accuracy of election results that is considered the gold standard. The gold standard. And now they are panicking. Now they don't want those absentee ballots scrutinized. Not like they're being scrutinized in Arizona, because it's going to expose them. John Solomon says this: the secretary said he stands by his private monitor's assessment that fraud did not occur at the scale in Fulton County to impact the election's outcome, but he added the county's election management failures nevertheless warrant dramatic repair. So there's a need for dramatic action because the damage is so bad. And yet he says the scale of it is certainly, out of all those millions of votes, it certainly isn't going to alter, say, 12,000 ballots. Can't happen. And the fact that this corruption's going on in the most populated county, I mean, the alarm bells, they're just, the sirens are screaming, fraud, fraud, fraud. And there he is, on the one hand, acknowledging it, and on the other hand, covering his tracks, maintaining his innocence, still saying that, you know, Trump should be out. It's disappointing, yes, but we got it right. John Solomon says, it is no secret that Fulton has had issues in their elections department for decades, which is why I insisted on a state monitor being present to the eyes and ears on the ground. That's quoting Raffensperger. He says, it is no secret that Fulton has had issues in their elections department for decades. That's right. So when he and his office surrenders to Stacey Abrams' demands on all of the mail-in ballots, and then he knows the history, they rush to get the Dominion machines. There's all these reports, these witnesses testifying to irregularities. And then now this. Now John Solomon's getting a hold of documents coming out of his office. He knew. He knew. They stole the election in Fulton County. Raffensperger knew about it. And then he went and lied anyway. If it gets rid of the bad orange man, hey, let's do it. Let's do it. This is the kind of thing that was going on in multiple states. John Solomon says, just the news reviewed the documents of Raffensperger's office collected from Fulton County during risk-limiting audit conducted last November. Among the problems, these memos exposed. So now I went through the lowlights of the contractor's report. 25 pages, time-stamped every day. Here's what's happening. And now we get to memos, emails that go back and forth during the supposed audit from late November of 2020. And what do these memos reveal? It says more than 100 batches of absentee ballots, each containing approximately 100 or more ballots, were assigned tracking numbers before being sent to one of five absentee vote counting machines in Fulton County, but are not subsequently recorded in the handwritten logs showing which batches were scanned and counted, raising concerns the ballots may be missing. That's 100 batches of 100 or more ballots. 100 times 100 is 10,000 ballots. And they may be missing. What did Biden win by? Under 12,000. Another bullet point from these memos: more than two dozen batches of absentee ballots were identified as having been double scanned on the tally sheets. Another: five sequential batches of absentee votes each appeared with the exact same vote count. Listen to this: 392 for Biden, 96 for President Trump, and three for the Libertarian, Joe Jorgensen, a count that state officials admitted was a statistical impossibility. They had five batches come in with that exact same count. 392 for Biden and 96 for Trump. Five batches! I mean, that's astounding! It's impossible. It's a statistical impossibility. And yet it happened. Well, I guess in one sense, it's a perfect election. There's five batches that aligned perfectly. Isn't that amazing? It says, finally, many control sheets for absentee ballots ballot batches counted during the state's audit did not check a box indicating the ballot came from a secure container, raising the possibility the ballots were stored insecurely or that multiple batches of ballots were sealed in a single container. In other words, the so-called audit from November of last year, that too was a fraud. Another, surprise, surprise, another big lie. So they lie. They lie about November 3rd. They lie about the audit. And then when an actual audit comes forward, they say, we've already audited it. We've recounted it once, twice, three times. We can't do it again. Oh, it must be those cyber ninjas or whatever, the bamboo shoots. Here's another right-wing conspiracy. Have you ever noticed? Certainly you've noticed it in the last 16, 18 months. All these so-called conspiracy theories that are being proven true. The Wuhan lab, January 6th, that's been exposed. The truth has been exposed there if you have eyes to see. Here's the conclusion. I have to get through this because it's so important. This is John Solomon's article. He says, an official working for Raffensperger who reviewed the documents flagged by Just the News said they were clear evidence of significant human failure in Fulton County, but he acknowledged other gaps in ballot batches defy immediate explanation and would require extensive investigation to determine if something more nefarious than incompetence was at work. A second state official said the shoddy nature of the Fulton County paperwork left open the possibility of fraud or other misconduct. Well, I should say, goes on and quotes him, it says, the findings of Just the News review closely mirror those of the private audit conducted by Cheely's, that's the attorney, Cheely's team under the judge's supervision. It says a private fraud expert hired by Cheely, the forensic accountant David Sawyer, specifically flagged scores of batches of absentee ballots that appeared missing from the documents and more than two dozen batches of absentee ballots that appear to have been double or triple counted in Fulton County. It says, finally, Sawyer said the fact that ballot batch numbers are missing from the county audit documents contradicts the concepts of completeness and existence and accuracy of the November audit, and it should have been readily apparent to anyone who is performing a reconciliation, let alone an audit, should have been apparent to any of those involved in the audit from November. So that's what he's presented before the judge. And the judge has allowed those ballots, the 147,000 absentee ballots, to be opened and examined. The evidence of fraud pours forth. And what is it? The former director of CISA, the cybersecurity official, the one that heads it up for the U.S. government. What did he say about the election from November 3rd? This is clip 21.
I did it right. We did it right. This was a secure election.
Right. He did it right. At Raffensperger, I'm sure he'd say the same thing. Okay, there's some messiness in Fulton County, the most populated county in the state. But look, I did it right. Gabe Sterling, I did it right. It was perfect. Governor Kemp, I did it right. Jeff Duncan, I did it right. I'm not going to run for re-election because I know that the people are absolutely furious about what happened here. That's what he would say if he told the silent part out loud. But in the cameras, he says, I did it right. It was perfect. Totally secure. When we come back, we will get to a little bit from yesterday's summit between the fake president, Joe Biden, and Vladimir Putin. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Breathing out, breathing in, more precious than it's ever been. We can't take it for granted. Never in our lifetimes has that fact been clearer, that precious breath of life. It might start to shorten. It might struggle. It might cease. How can it be protected? How can it be prolonged? How can it be saved? And what is the purpose anyway? What is the purpose of human life? What should you use that breath for? Most of us turn to doctors. It's a reflex, but it's becoming more and more clear that the medical industry does not have all the answers. It can be amazingly helpful, but can it actually heal? Is this the place to turn for healing after all? The human body, human breath, human life was designed, powered, preserved. It was created. Who made it? With something so important as your life, you need to know the creator of life. The Plain Truth About Healing by Herbert W. Armstrong will show you from your Bible the answers to the questions even most Christians are afraid to ask. Is the day of miracles past? Does the living God heal sickness? Did God raise up medical science for our day? What is the role of doctors? You can have not only sound health, but a sound mind. Go to thetrumpet.com and search The Plain Truth About Healing by Herbert W. Armstrong.
The Trumpet Daily.
When President Putin was questioned today about human rights, he said the reason why he's cracking down on opposition leaders is because he doesn't want something like January 6th to happen in Russia. And he also said he doesn't want to see groups formed like Black Lives Matter. What's your response to that, please?
My response is kind of what I communicated, that I think that's a ridiculous comparison. It's one thing for literally criminals to break through cordon, go into the Capitol, kill a police officer, and be held unaccountable. And it is for people objecting and marching on the Capitol and saying, you are not allowing me to speak freely.
There's another world leader using some of the radical left's propaganda against the Biden administration. You can't look, let's talk about human rights, says a U.S. official, or says Biden to his counterpart in Russia. Let's talk about human rights. And you're cracking down on political opposition. You're cracking down on journalists you don't like. And Putin turns it on them and says, well, look at what you're doing. Look, you said there was an insurrection. And you're cracking down on them. That's why I've got to be tough, because I don't want them coming. I don't want an armed insurrection coming on the Kremlin. And then Biden tries to laugh it off, saying that, look, you can't even make that comparison. It's one communist talking to another or responding to another. That's what you see happening there. What are some of the more dramatic developments, though? Just looking at it with respect to Bible prophecy. This is from Deutsche Welle. It says, Vladimir Putin exuded satisfaction as he appeared before journalists after a 3.5-hour meeting with Joe Biden in Geneva. And he had good reason, says Deutsche Welle. With the summit, the U.S. president had single-handedly lifted the Russian strongman out of international isolation and given a green light to other Western leaders, including the German chancellor and French president, to do so more frequently as well, should they wish to. Well, it's just like Obama did with the mullahs in Iran. Here he is. He's bringing Vladimir Putin, Russia, right back into the international community and opening the way, should they choose to do it, for European leaders to reach out and to strengthen those ties. And of course, we know this is going to happen between Germany and Russia before the Great Tribulation breaks out. We know it. And even the capitulation on the Nord Stream 2, that connects Russia with Germany. Here are these two, just like they came together in the years leading up to World War II, before the war actually broke out. Politico also brought out this point, how that all of what you're seeing this week is just going to move Europe closer and closer to Russia. Now, Donald Trump, if you were watching and observing during the Trump years, he was working to slow that down. He didn't want the Nord Stream 2 to go forward. Some would say he even stopped it for a time. He made it clear to Germany, look, if you cozy up to Russia, there's going to be consequences. He made it clear. He said, look, we've been defending Europe for all these decades with NATO and other alliances and such. And now, instead of buying our energy, you're going to go and reach out to Russia? Donald Trump put the brakes on that. And so here comes the fake president. He's just ushering Vladimir Putin right back into the international community. The Federalist also made an important point out of all these cybersecurity attacks that Russia is behind. And what came out of the summit regarding that? It says here, it's quoting Putin, we have to put aside any insinuations, said Putin, about his involvement behind the ransomware attacks. We know about the cyber attack on the American pipeline, but what does Russia have to do with it? Well, he's a good communist. He's a good propagandist, too. He says, look, I understand you guys have been attacked, but what do we have to do with it? What are you bringing us up for? You've got hackers in America, too. Says here, after the entire point of the meeting, from Biden's perspective, was to establish guardrails on peacetime infrastructure attacks, Putin walked out and denied its entire premise. That's right. Biden comes out and says, hey, I told him there's got to be some rules. This is clip number three.
The bottom line is I told President Putin that we need to have some basic rules of the road that we can all abide by.
Basic rules of the road. Wow, that's pretty tough. I told him we need to have some rules. And then he got into some specifics. And see if you can wrap your mind around this next statement. This is clip number two.
I talked about the proposition that certain critical infrastructure should be off limits to attack, period, by cyber or any other means. I gave them a list, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, 16 specific entities, 16 defined as critical infrastructure.
I gave them 16 entities. Please don't attack Pearl Harbor. Please leave Pearl Harbor alone. I told them not to attack this, the energy grid. I told them not to attack this aircraft carrier. I mean, just, I don't know what's on the list, but who does this? This is the leader of the United States of America handing Vladimir Putin a list of 16 targets. Please don't attack these. In my mind, that seems to communicate to Putin, these are pretty strategically important targets we're talking about here. That's Joe Biden just laying it all out there, saying, please, oh, pretty please, we've got to have some rules. And these are the six. I guess the other thing you could take away from 16 areas that shouldn't be targeted is outside of that, everything's fine. Just go ahead and blast away. I mean, this is unbelievable. And they went into hysteria mode, the media did, when Donald Trump met with Putin at Helsinki. And in their minds, he betrayed the intelligence community because they tried to use that, the investigation into the Trump-Russia collusion. It was a hoax. And Donald Trump told them. And who was right? He told them in that press conference, it's a hoax. And he was standing right there next to Vladimir Putin. And the media erupt in fury. How could you side with Vladimir Putin over our own intelligence community? Well, who is right? And what was the intelligence community doing with the Trump-Russia collusion? They were lying. They were lying. They were trying to take out Donald Trump. And Trump exposed it. And then you know what happened. John Brennan and all the rest. Oh, he committed treason. How dare you say anything about the deep state? How dare you say that the FBI is targeting you? And that's exactly what was happening. So many parallels with so many of these stories. The Wuhan virus. the election steal, January 6th, Trump-Russia collusion. We have seen this over and over and over again. One last clip I'll play for you. I don't have time to get into the back and forth he had with a few reporters. He snapped at one woman. She's with CNN. And then he had another comment where he kind of lost it. And then he came back with an awkward apology later. And then, of course, there's the there's the obligatory statement of, let me see who I can call on for questions. My handlers have told me you've got to stick to the list or else I'll get in trouble. Said that again yesterday. And then this was CNN commenting on just how everything is so carefully scripted and guarded when it comes to this fake presidency. This is clip 8.
But we have seen President Biden do that frequently. What we've not seen him do is answer questions like that without his aides screaming at him to stop. I have never seen a president covering the last four of them who is so protected by his aides in terms of often not wanting him to answer some questions.
That should raise a red flag, I would think, with a lot of people. Should it not? He's worked with the four past presidents. And Obama, for all of his talk about transparency, he gave very few press conferences. And even there, a lot of that was scripted and the reporters were arranged for in advance. He says he's never seen a president covering the last four who is so protected by his aides, they just don't want him to answer questions. Why? Why? You know why. Come on. They don't want him answering questions. It's all a big hoax, isn't it? It's all a big fraud. And so much of it's being exposed. Well, I'll conclude here with, there's a few more clips I could get into. One comment I guess I could make. The live mic that caught the reporters before Biden shows up. I think this was before he showed up to handshake, to greet Vladimir Putin, not with the elbow touch. That's for Western leaders. That's for the weak Israelite leaders. But he came out, you know, big, strong handshake, big smiles, not socially distanced. That's all out the window when it's Vladimir Putin. But these reporters, there's a pool of them, and there's a live mic behind them, and they're all joking with each other. Well, you know, what should we ask him when he shows up? And one of them said, what do you think of the vice president's trip to Central America, Mr. President? And then another reporter, laughing, says, when are you going to go to the border? What about you? What about you? And then another one said, where's Hunter? And they're all just joking. They're all joking about questions they actually should ask. But they know they're not going to do that. They know there's one question for the camera, and there's one question that we all have when we're around the dinner table enjoying a cocktail at the end of the day. Yeah, that Hunter laptop, it is pretty bad. The fact that he's hurling out all these insensitive, racist remarks, that you know, we probably would blow up if Don Jr. said those things. The disaster at the border, I mean, we probably should ask him about if he's going to visit the border, or we should probably ask him about the disastrous trip for Kamala Harris. But, oh, quiet down. Here he comes. And then he comes, and what do we get? We get swooning. Just like my father comments in America Under Attack. We get swooning. We get lies. We get the Time magazine cover that portrays him as a big, tough guy, that he's got Vladimir right in his sights. So much fakery, so much phoniness. It's on display every single day. That's why you need this program, The Trumpet Daily. You are listening to The Trumpet Daily, and I am your host, Stephen Fleury, but I am out of time. I thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.